Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call this Monday, October 23rd, 2017, regular city council meeting to order. If you would all please rise for a short private invocation, asking for God's blessing upon our proceedings tonight, wisdom for the city council, and his blessing upon this community. Now, if you'll all please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Please be seated. We're going to flip-flop 1.4 and 1.5, and I'll go right to roll call. We have two council members who have prior engagements tonight and are not going to be able to attend, so I would entertain a motion to excuse John Lawless and Corey Everett from tonight's meeting.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion made by Councilwoman Doro, seconded by Councilman McCourty. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And the next item would then be our citizen input. Any citizens present who would like to make comment or address the city council, please raise your hand. I'll recognize you and give you up to 5 minutes. Seeing none, we will then move to item two, which is the approval of our agenda tonight. I'd entertain a motion to approve our agenda.
Make that motion.
Second.
Motion was made by Angel, seconded by Gina.
Was it seconded by somebody else?
Motion made by Angel, seconded by Gina. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. This time I'm not going to forget the consent agenda and may entertain a motion to approve our consent agenda tonight.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion made by Councilman Bain, seconded by Councilman Snyder. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. So now we're going to move to our current business. 4.1 is a resolution, an interlocal agreement with the Othello School District, and we have ourselves the charming Amy Hurlbut present. Hi, Amy.
Hello. So I am indeed here for the interlocal agreement or joint use agreement with the Othello School District in the city of Othello. This contract has been renewed yearly for quite some time. This year I have proposed a 3-year contract instead of a 1-year contract, as over the past few years, little to nothing has changed. I did inquire about some changes within the content, which I noted on your agenda memo. Worked with Kelly on those. With the future plans that the school district in particular has by way of new facilities being built, I wasn't sure how a 3-year contract would either include or exclude future facilities. So by recommendation of our city attorney, we amended one of the items in the contract to say that any new facilities that are built by the school district will just automatically become part of this contract. I've been working with Brian Boda, who is the new business manager at the Othello School District. He has also reviewed this contract that's before you this evening and is currently at the Othello School Board meeting, having the same conversation with that group of people. I did make sure to highlight the exact changes that were made, which again, the section 4.2 was the most notable. There were a couple of other changes that were made, mostly the way things were said, or to include more detail about just specific groups of people that aren't to be discriminated against. So the two big differences between this and the contract that you've seen year after year is the extension of the 3-year contract as opposed to a 1-year contract, and the change in wording about any new facilities that may or not be added from the school district.
Any questions, council? Thank you, Amy. All right. I'd entertain a motion to approve this agreement of a joint use for facilities between the City of Othello and Othello School District Number 147.
Make that motion.
Second.
Motion made by Gina, seconded by Councilman McCourty. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Amy. Next item is 4.2, ordinance to assume the Transportation Benefit District. We've talked about this quite a bit, and Spencer is now here to help us finalize this legislative issue.
All I'm doing here tonight is finalizing all the discussion that we've had. I've prepared an ordinance that includes all of our conversation, and if we were to pass this ordinance, it would be the city assuming the TBD. There are a couple of things to remember. When we assume the TBD, the city assumes all the rights, powers, obligations of the TBD. So the special kinds of authority that the TBD has would now be assumed by the city. So those rights and powers would still exist. It's also important to note that the TBD fund is not being assumed into the street fund or into the general fund. It's still going to be its own fund. Right now, we hold it in fund number 695. The 600 level fund is a fiduciary fund where the city holds the money on behalf of this other organization. We're going to change the fund number from 695 to 195. And so the revenues, they're a restricted revenue tax collected for a specific purpose. So the uses of that money is going to stay exactly the same. It'll be in its own column. Those are some of the big
Mm-hmm. So the public knows, even by the city assuming this TBD, all that tax revenue that the citizens voted on, that tax increase, will still go to streets and exclusively streets.
It has to, by law. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And it'll be just as easy to track as Fund 195 as it is in Fund 695.
Okay. Very good, Spencer. Simple. Thank you. Council, do you guys have any statements or comments? All right. Then at this time, I'd entertain a motion to approve this ordinance.
Make that motion.
Second.
Motion made by Councilman Snyder, approved by seconded by Councilman Garza. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, Spencer. And now, item 4.3 is an interfund loan ordinance. Yes. Okay, thank you for the clarification. Let's go back to that resolution. And we approved the agreement, now we need to approve the resolution. I think you did explain that this afternoon, I'm sorry. But we did need to do a resolution.
We make the motion to pass resolution, 2017 joint use agreement.
It's a resolution. Yeah, authorize the mayor to execute the agreement.
Okay.
Second.
Thank you, Councilman McCourty, for your second. Any further discussion on that resolution? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Now we're going to go to the interfund loan ordinance. Spencer?
Yeah, this is also a catch-up item from a couple of months ago. A little while ago, we had change order number 17 on 14th Avenue presented to council. It was $494,000. And to pay for this, the council elected to establish an interfund loan from the sewer fund to the street fund just to cover the cash flow. Ultimately, the street fund will have this money once we collect the other neighboring, the property owners, mm-hmm. that neighbor 14th. As soon as they pay their pieces, that'll be the money to pay this loan back. So we have a one-time revenue to match this one-time expense. A few months ago, we established an interfund loan policy that would help us, help guide us through this process. This is the first time we've had an interfund loan in a number of years. And so I went to the state auditor's office and MRSC, which is my best friend, and we developed a policy to guide us through the process. Very simple, very basic. It's essentially a contract, and the contract has a number of different pieces. It has the term of the loan. In this ordinance, I put a three-year term on it. It's likely that it's going to be done in 1 year, but in case it takes a little bit longer to get these payments, this gives us the flexibility. I don't want to go more than 3 years, because anything more than 3 years gets extra scrutiny from the auditor's office, and they look at that as a possible diversion of funds or gifting. And so I set the max at the max that they set also. It has a rate of 1.2%, which is the rate that, that money would get if it were to stay in the sewer fund. Just to go through the policy, it's going to offset a timing difference in cash flow check. It's going to be done by ordinance. We're establishing the sewer fund to the street fund, so we have the lending and the borrowing funds. We have the rate of interest associated with the loan. There's the borrowing fund, so the street fund in this case anticipates the sufficient revenues. We know where that money is coming from. Those are the important pieces. We have to look at this loan just like a contract. If we were to borrow money from the bank, we would have a term, payments, all these kinds of things. And this ordinance has all of those pieces. So with that, scroll down a little bit. It's the recommendation that we approve this ordinance.
Questions, council, about the ordinance? Okay. Entertain a motion to approve this ordinance.
Make that motion.
Second. Motion made by Councilwoman Doro, seconded by Councilman Garza. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you,
Spencer. Thank you.
And now we're going to move to item 4.4, change order for First Avenue.
Mayor, members of the council, here to... I'm Jake Dial with Varela, project engineer for First Avenue Reconstruction. Here to discuss change order for First Avenue, which involves the full depth recycle of the ground part of the roadway. This will completely pulverize this ground section of the roadway and then provide an additional inch to bring a total of 3 inches of HMA over it. As you can see, the road is in very poor condition. After the grind, we experienced a lot of delamination and discovered that the original roadway itself was very distressed with subsequent overlays on it. And this is our recommendation to provide the greatest lifespan of a road at this point in time.
Council, do you guys have some questions?
Did the first grinding on top of that, and I know that there was tests that were done, but is there any way that we could have picked that up as we started grinding that top part and decided to go ahead and pulverize the whole thing?
So we from the get-go?
From the get-go?
Well, the initial grind, there was some delamination, and they started right in with their pipework, so the road was really dirty. So the full extent of it kind of revealed itself as they cleaned up the roadway itself. So the extent of the full delamination of the roadway wasn't apparent until they really started to clean the roadway for the crack seal, and then the magnitude of it. When we got core samples at the beginning, we saw that there was reflective cracking all the way through, and we anticipated that, and that's why we were recommending the fibers to help retard the reflective cracking. What we did not know is they didn't use a tack coat when subsequent layers were put down. And so that was delamination there. And just how poor condition the original pavement was at the very bottom. That wasn't, that couldn't be toned from just a few core samples.
Yeah.
Jake, I went down the other day, and I know a lot about concrete.
I do not know anything about asphalt.
Mm-hmm.
But if we were to concrete that street right now, it's a long ways from being ready. There's dips, dyes, everything else in the thing. Now, did you just say that you're going to put an inch asphalt to kind of level all that stuff up?
What we see here, they'll come through with the pulverizing machine. This will grind this roadway into essentially a gravel. It'll mix it with the existing gravels and provide a thicker subgrade.
Okay.
And so then that will be graded just like a gravel surface and prep for paving.
Well, that's what I was looking for, and I thought maybe we were going to start last week, and I thought, I hope somebody's paying attention here, because it wasn't, what you're saying right now makes sense to me, whether it's concrete or asphalt.
Yeah.
You have it leveled, and it's ready to go.
Well, I don't think they knew that this other issue was going on up until, what, last week?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But
we had experts look at this, and they were all, we could do an inch pre-level on this, but no one would guarantee the roadway, and the geotechs did not think it would last very long. So, each inch is $100,000, so you'd be throwing $100,000 over. Not something that's going to last long.
So basically, when they came to us as a committee, as a street committee, they gave us two choices, and one of them was to pre-level, and one of them was to grind it down and make it a better base and then put thicker asphalt. And we said, go ahead and do it the way that's going to last the longest to be the best, and that was the grinding it down.
So what do you, we
that was our recommendation.
We went from 2 to 5 inches or 1 to 4 inches. What was the difference on the thickness of the asphalt from
the existing to the finish?
Existing to finish.
They're varied on the roadway.
On the change order anyway.
Originally from after the grind 0 to 5 inches. 5 inches in the center. So it would have gone with the 2-inch overlay, which was the original proposal. Mm-hmm. There would have been back to 5 to 2 inches of asphalt on this roadway. After, with the changeover, there'll be a uniform 3 inches. So it's additional inch of asphalt from the 2 inches that was proposed.
But we're gonna get a better road in the long run.
That's what I say, as long as we've got it stripped down, let's do it right.
Yep.
Oh,
yeah.
There won't be anything reflecting from this through it. You start with a fresh face.
That was our recommendation as a committee.
Good.
But shouldn't we have found this before the day that they were going to pave it?
Ideally. And as the road got clean, when we did the CTB, I had Phil Bartow, our paving guy, come down and we looked at it. And his advice was full depth reclamation at that point, that the pre-level wouldn't work. And so I started getting the contractor to bring Central Washington down. Central Washington came down at their earliest convenience and we looked at it. And their recommendation was the same thing.
Did you grind on that very much?
I've grown on it.
Yeah. What was your opinion? Because I noticed it way before.
So
I don't know how we could put asphalt on that, to be honest with you.
Right now,
even before, even like, I'm going to say like 2 weeks after
that. You're going to do this grinding, like it'll have a top coat of 5/8 on it. That's all good.
I think part of the problem is then we weren't aware that there was no tack there. So nothing was being glued together. None of those layers are being glued together.
They started separating. As time went by.
Laminating.
That's right.
It did take several days before Central Washington Asphalt could come down to look at it and give a second opinion on it.
So another question I have is, why didn't we pave the truck route? Because that part was ready.
Truck route?
Yeah, the part that had the CTV
down near the
first,
highway.
That's the busiest part of the whole road. We could have paved that.
Yeah, and I'll make that. Me and Public Works, in conjunction with engineers, so I made that call. So it wouldn't be a seam there. It'd be one long thing. Because then having to get a seam, they got, as you know, you come up with issues.
What are they trying to prevent that?
It'd be better to just hold off and delay till we get the whole, if I'm not saying that right, Jake.
Yeah, no. Okay. Yeah, there would have been a cold butt joint there.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to.
We made that call. Well, you see what happened right here on First, the one you mentioned, remember, our last meeting? And then another one over here, if you go on Main Street, right as soon as you cross 14th on the right-hand side, that's pretty, you could tell. You know, that's, so I think it's a good idea to go from start to finish.
Yep.
How long it take, Jake, once you start asphalt to do?
With the asphalt?
Yes.
Right now, the contractor's projecting 4 days.
4 days to?
Yes.
To do the?
A week from today, they would start.
I see.
Perfect. And when's the asphalt plant close?
That's always variable every year, but it's usually mid-November.
They've already, Jake, they've already been in contact with CWA, right, to make sure they, the schedule will work for them?
Yes.
Yeah, so.
They shoot the code by, before.
Well, they're going to pave next week and be done by next Friday.
Where did that come out of? Mosul Lake?
Yes.
Yes.
Asphalt?
Yes.
Out of basins?
Central Washington.
Central Washington, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Any other questions, councilors?
So it'll take them 4 days to pave the whole thing?
That was the schedule they provided me Friday.
So wouldn't that be the same as if we paved the truck route and then paved that later? Because, I mean, they still got to stop. They're not going to pave.
Well, they would pave the bottom 2 to 3 inches of the truck route and then overlay the whole thing.
Okay.
So that there would be one continuous wearing course.
Yeah.
Okay.
So by doing this, what are you estimating, Jake, as the life?
The lifespan, Geotech did give me a lifespan. They didn't calculate it. I can ask for one.
Yeah, we just got another $250,000 bill. I think we should
know. Yeah, the lifespan estimated on this condition would have been a handful of years. So
yeah.
I will ask the Geotech to provide us their recommendation for lifespan.
I mean, I'm thinking of, for instance, Broadway. Broadway was paved in the early 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
And we're almost 40 years later, or about mm-hmm. 35 years later, and now Broadway needs to be, you know, there's areas of Broadway that are starting to deteriorate. So we're talking about a 30-year is what they put down on Broadway. And big trucks drive Broadway, and big trucks drive First Avenue. And I'm just hoping that what we're doing here is consistent with something that's going to last us more than 5 to 7 years.
The truck route portion with the CTB is a fully designed 20-year roadway.
Okay.
The change that was made on this, I don't have that number at this point in time.
And that's not having cement, it's just having the grain.
Correct.
Okay. All right, do we need to approve this change order?
I'd make a motion that we approve the change order.
Second.
Motion been made by Councilman McCourty, seconded by Councilwoman Adoro. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thanks, Jake.
Can I add a little bit? It's
sure.
A little bit. So we had a presentation here about a month ago. Remember, Phil? You're asking of the how long, you know, the roads are going to last. So we had a presentation, and I think we start, you know, we start bringing a program together on preventive maintenance on our roads. You were there, Gina, as well. Foggy sealing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm kind of new at that, and I'm learning it as well. But I say we dig deeper a little bit on that, because that's the longevity, is that the right word?
Yeah.
On our roads, it's just the way he was explaining it, I think we, you know,
it'll
it's
extend it the longevity by
yeah,
quite a bit if
by
we're
quite
doing
a bit.
The regular maintenance on our roads that we should be doing, which we haven't. Mm-hmm. Up until this point.
So, and then I asked about Main Street, because we did that, how long has that been? Four years.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Phil, because I did ask Phil said that you guys are about ready to do something there. So to answer your question, there's already streets that we should already be looking into getting some of that work done.
Mm-hmm.
Angel, one thing that I did notice, and I mentioned it today, was in Wenatchee, what they do up there, they got the asphalt, and then wherever the trucks turn, it's all concrete.
And so,
and that's what's tearing up your asphalt, is these big heavy trucks turning in these intersections. So if you put...
It works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't last long, but...
And I think I told Larry and Jake, correct me if I'm wrong, we did, made some adjustment of those curves on the truck route to put more concrete down. Didn't we do that? Did we, I don't know what the right word is, but...
We increased...
Increased the turn radius. Yeah.
Curb returns.
Yeah.
And that's all CTV as well.
Yep.
So I have the concrete base.
Okay, yeah, good.
Awesome.
Can I add just a couple of details to what Councilman Garza said there? So, Council, you also had us do a rating of your roads this summer. So all the roads went through inventory down. I think you've seen at least a map that summarized some of those results. So that's another element of what Councilman Garza is talking about, is having some quantitative data to be able to lay out a real systematic street maintenance program, to where you're sort of organizing, prioritizing all your streets, and then catching them before they get too bad, to where you, it's kind of this whole economic equation that Phil explained to the committee of, if you put a little bit of money in at the right times, you really extend the lifespan of your roads and all that. So I guess you're on that track right now, and you've already put in some of the, or invested some in sort of the quantitative end of things. So now it's just moving on to the implementation of that. So it's just some details for you.
Thank you.
Spencer needed to say something.
Yeah, I wanted to make a couple of comments from the budget side. So this change is about $250,000. So we need to think about where this money is going to be coming from. Wade and I have been talking about this, and I've been crunching some numbers with Kurt from Varela to look at our ability to pay this. One of the things that we were doing is looking at the initial cost of the project. Ultimately, this is a TIB grant that pays for the vast majority of the project. The street fund, though, is paying about $301,000, just slightly over $300,000. That's the local match portion. When we started looking at the additional money that we need for this, one of the things that we did is we took the water and the sewer portions of this project, and we took those pieces out of the street fund. So we were able to take about $133,000 out of the street fund, or of expense out of the street fund, and add those to the water sewer portions of this project. So those other funds are now helping with their piece of the match. So of our $250,000 that we need to come up with, just that change accounts for a little over half of that, $133,000. With the new, so that's the addition, that's the, those are calculations based on the original contract as it was originally bid, those estimates. So with this piece, we're estimating $250,000. Most of that is going to be street. Of that, we think maybe we can get put about $30,000 of that cost over into the water and sewer pieces. Ultimately, if we put all those factors together, we need about $90,000 to be able to pay for the project. And so we've got a few different avenues. One is with the TIB grant, they're authorized to pay an additional $95,000 towards up to an additional $95,000 for this project, which would be wonderful if we get that. That's the problem solved. We got an email today that was kind of concerning that concerned us about the likelihood that we could get that $95,000. So if we didn't get that $95,000, we need to be thinking about other things that we would do to pay that extra $95,000. There's always the street reserve fund, or the minimum fund balance in the street and the street reserve fund. The street fund has a minimum fund balance of $150,000, and the street reserve fund has a minimum fund balance of $200,000. So that's money that we could use, but then in the future, I would assume we'll want to pay that money back. So that would hamper our ability to do other projects if we're replenishing that fund balance. Mm-hmm. One of the other things is the TBD fund. After a couple of developments that we have going in, we have about $100,000 left over in our TBD. I get TBD and TIB mixed up. It's hard to keep those two acronyms straight. But in our fund, our TBD fund, we'll have about $100,000 left over at the end of next year. So that's a piece of money that we can use. We also have been talking with FEMA, who has, they came out a few months ago and they looked at the quality of our roads due to the wear, extra wear and tear and the extra money that we had to spend to repair our roads after last winter. They are, they're saying that we will likely get an amount sometime. That's a quote. So to follow it up a little bit, it looks like the estimate that they gave us is slightly under $80,000. I still don't have a timing for that. I wouldn't count on that this year. But it sounds like we could get that amount. If we could get that amount, that'd be wonderful. That would be this extra chunk of money. So I just want you to be thinking about some of those different options. There's about $90,000 outstanding that we need to come up with from one of those different avenues. So that's my...
I believe you said the likelihood of getting the full amount from TIV was pretty slim.
Well,
but
you know,
we should be getting something from them.
We hope so. Maybe, so this is, Wade has been talking with the TIB representatives over the last couple of days, and they're going to be meeting with them at the IACC conference.
Yeah, so we'll have to gang up on the IACC. Okay. So.
You know, and
do that.
Don't quote me on that.
Anyway, I just wanted you to have the 2 cents from the finance seat.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Thank you. Arbor Day proclamation. Did you have that? Amy has that. Hi, Amy.
Hi.
Why don't you talk to us about the Othello Arbor Day 2017 proclamation?
Well, in order to complete our application for the 2017 Tree City USA Award, which, as you remember, we were awarded in 2016. The city will be celebrating another Arbor Day. It's not untypical for Tree Cities to celebrate Arbor Day on a non-traditional National Arbor Day. What the goal is to create an awareness about either trees in the community or maintaining, planting, pruning, something to that effect to educate the community about trees. So this year, in conjunction with our very large tree planting down 14th Avenue, we will be celebrating Othello Arbor Day 2017 on the 30th at 1 o'clock. Just be getting together with the newspaper and anybody who's able to attend to celebrate Othello's largest tree planting in history that I can find, at just over 50 trees at the same time down 14th Avenue. If you've headed down there over the last week, you'll see that slowly but surely they're making their way up and down the street. And right now they don't look like much besides tiny little trees, but within a short amount of time, hopefully we'll have a really beautiful roadway that will serve as a gateway to the community that will bring people in with a beautiful fall and a nice bright green spring and summer. Mm-hmm. So,
did you have a day on that?
I do. It's the 30th at 1 o'clock.
October 30th.
Yep, and we'll be meeting on Columbia and First, and the Columbia Basin Herald, well, I guess the Sun Tribune, has created an ad for us that will be running in the newspaper this week, and they'll be out to cover the story and be able to write a nice article about all the effort and planning that went into planting those trees. Anybody who's planted a tree, well, hopefully knows that there's a lot of planning that goes into what it could do in the future, both above and below ground. So we've taken a lot of things into consideration in the planting of those trees down 14th Avenue so that we can protect both under and above ground.
Thank you for putting that together, Amy. Thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
Council. Okay. Shall I read the proclamation? Okay. Staff recommends the mayor sign the proclamation establishing Othello Arbor Day 2017. Need a motion?
Make the motion.
Second.
Motion made by Councilman Snyder, seconded by Councilman Bain. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. I guess the motion just said that I sign it. Didn't say I was going to read it. So, we'll move along. Is there any unfinished business tonight? Item 5.
Okay. Is there any new business tonight? Item 6? Hearing none, we'll move to item 7. Council will also receive the following department head reports and planning commission minutes. And having no further business to come before the council, I'm going to adjourn tonight's meeting at 7:07 p.m.